Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are in my car because the internet is down at Redskins Park, and it's kind of made for an interesting day, to say the least. As always, we are brought to you by the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. I hung out with my guy, Bob Biagi, last night. We watched that Caps game. Taylor, did you watch Caps game?
I did.
That was awesome. It was effing awesome.
Less than 2 minutes in there, 2-0, I said, I have a payout. Everybody's worried about them.
The hangover.
Right. And then, you know, after that ceremony, you know, all that kind of, you know, having to turn around and focus on a game just like that. But they managed to do it.
And everybody in the media room, so because the internet was down, the media room, everybody spoke to each other all day. It was very odd. And everybody assumed that I was wasted because I was tweeting about hockey last night. I was not wasted. Brad Marchand is a loser, and I take none of what I said back. So there you have it.
There you go.
All right. Been a little change in the schedule. You get the oral history of 1991 today. Ernest Byner's interview with me is going to run today, and here's why. I got to sit down with Adrian Peterson today that's going to air in our pregame show Monday night before the Saints game, and it was awesome. And so we're going to run the Peterson interview podcast Sunday night, all day Monday. Maybe Sunday morning. Redskins fans are going to want something on Sunday. All right, so we'll figure that out. Biner's today. So what Taylor and I are going to do is we're going to give you the quick news of the day updates, and the most important thing is this Josh Doctson situation. He didn't practice again. Gruden had to address it today. He said he got kicked in the heel on Monday, and he's day-to-day.
And, yeah, I mean, that's about it.
He was asked, I think Hoffman asked him, you know, hey, do you have any fear of Doctson not playing Monday night? And Gruden kind of clowned the question. He's like, fear? No fear. But it was a legitimate question, and I understand Jay just trying to get away from it, not wanting to answer. I think guy hasn't practiced in 2 days. I think him not playing on Monday is on the table.
It's on the table. I don't know if
it's I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen.
Is. I would not put betting lazy boys on it at this point.
How many lazy boys? Zero, one, or two?
No, I would not bet any on it right now.
Would you bet any lazy boys on him not playing?
No, I wouldn't bet it either way right now. We just don't know enough.
I'm with you, but you get better odds. What if it was like one lazy boy to win four lazy boys right now on him playing or not playing?
I would go, no. I wouldn't. I just don't know enough to make any kind of bet.
You're also not like a fun gambler. Like, you don't want to chase good odds.
I'm not Mitch, no.
Right. If Mitch was here, he'd be putting all of it on. If I know Mitch, and I know Mitch pretty well, I would bet he would wager heavily on Doctson not playing. I also want to say something. Our good friend, my good friend, Brian Mitchell, got harassed this summer when he reported Doctson had a heel injury. Now, there was some – Jay Gruden dismissed that his heel was drained. So maybe the medical terminology got a little mixed up along the way. But regardless, B. Mitch was absolutely right about this heel thing. It's now popped up twice since then.
Okay.
I think the record – deserves to be noted.
It does. I don't think Bemis is going to get any sort of apology, but...
I don't think so either. And I don't think Bemis listens, but I want him to know that we are defending him on the Redskins Talk podcast. So you are being lame. You're not getting in the water. You refuse to say if you think Doctson will or won't play. Do I have this right?
Yes, I don't know. Let's see.
Will you at least say tomorrow?
I will give it something. No. I guess if he doesn't practice tomorrow, I'd say it's not looking good. And if he does practice tomorrow, I'd say it's probably looking pretty good.
Tomorrow we will also have Kime and Pete on the podcast, and we're going to do the bye week rankings. All right, so Doctson remains a mystery, we'll say.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on there. I'm trying like crazy to find out. I'm working my phone feverishly. I got a phone call during the Caps game. I was sitting in very good seats with my boy Ahmed, and I still took the phone call to try to get information last night. So the rest of the injury situation looks pretty good. I talked to AP. You know, he's going to play 100%.
He is.
He absolutely is.
He was like, after he was out of practice.
Which isn't good, because he was back practicing.
Looks like.
Right.
Unofficially, he was back practicing.
He looked like he was trending the right way, and now he's back trending the wrong way. But at the same time, Troy Apke ain't going to make or break the Redskins' effort in New Orleans.
If Troy Apke has to play, they're in trouble.
You heard it, Taylor, laying down the law. Redskins, yes. At Redskins Talk Podcast Twitter, there's your tweet right there. You want to say it again, Taylor?
Yes, Troy Apke has to play, they're in trouble.
Is that like the fourth rule of Taylor at this point?
Not really. That could probably go whether it's against Drew Brees or whether it's against just about anybody. Blaine Gabbert.
Right. Trent Williams was out there. We didn't see him, but Jay said he was out there, correct?
Yeah, he said he took part in some individual drills. Now, all we saw during individual drills, the part that opened the media, was him working out on the side field, on the auxiliary field. So we don't know, but you know he's going to play. This is a guy
Trent's going to play,
who doesn't need practice.
Here's the one that stood out to me a bit, and Brandon Scherff's been wearing that big bulky knee brace, and he popped up on the injury report, and he hasn't been on there, right?
Yeah, he was.
Jay said
he was on there before Green Bay. I haven't seen one
right in a while.
A week ago Friday, so
almost 2 weeks. Scherff is not. He's not. He's certainly not 100%. I'm not sure he's 80%. What do you think he's at?
He hasn't been playing as well as
he's still leveling people in spots, but yes. I think he's doing better going forward than he is having to plant that.
Right.
That
and. You know, probably the brace is just to take the strain off of it. I'd be surprised if he wore it during the game. I wouldn't rule it out. But it's probably pretty...
Did he not wear the brace during the Packers game? It's a hell of a wrap on that thing.
Yeah.
Morgan Moses, we say this all the time, but the health of that O-line will really dictate a lot of how well the Redskins can do.
Yes, especially since they've had one injury there, and even though, you know, if you're getting down to, you know... Congrats, Casey Dunn, for making the team, but if you have a play, they're in trouble. You can quote that too, Redskins Talk on Twitter.
Make sure you're checking out the good folks, Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. They got it all. They got Taylor's favorite Corolla. Toyota's got a minivan. I'm sure Taylor would like that.
I don't want to say the name of what I think it is because it might be the wrong one.
I believe it's the Sienna.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. The Sienna is a very popular vehicle at Shelby's daycare. A lot of Siennas. And you want the most dangerous place in America? Go to a preschool parking lot. There are people driving cars that are way too big that they do not know how to drive. Like the amount of Suburbans and minivans and then four-year-olds running around, it's bad news. All right. Josh Norman, we think, is going to be fine.
Yeah, you know, he seemed to indicate he'd be okay, but he was cautious.
Right.
Cautiously optimistic. That's what I'm looking for.
That's a guy that they can't afford.
Because a hammy, you know, hamstring, you get set back with a hamstring and
When you're a speed, whether or not Josh Norman has elite speed, he still is a quarterback where you got to be able to run.
Speed.
Right.
You have to run backwards.
Here's the tricky part with Thursdays, and Thursday's a little different because Gruden talked about the injuries today and he didn't yesterday, but Wednesday is the first day and then Friday is the real tell, so Thursday's kind of this middle ground where, not to defend Taylor not taking a stance, but like we'll know way more tomorrow and we'll give it to you tomorrow.
Oh, no more. Now, we won't have the injury status for the game. That will get emailed to us on Saturday.
Right, but still, that's just like the official wording of, the only doing real things with the doubtful designation gone now?
No, doubtful. Is it probable?
Probable. Right. But the only real thing that Saturday tells you is somebody's out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For the most part.
Dotson,
will Dotson be, I don't think he'll be, if he's not out, will be questionable, which means he probably will play, or doubtful, which means he probably won't play. That's a big.
I bet Norman plays. Monday night, bright lights.
Probably does.
He tends to go through.
Be questionable.
Yeah.
And play. Trent will be questionable and play. Peterson will be questionable and play. Sheriff probably won't be on the report. He'll play.
I bet he'll be on the report.
Well, because even if somebody is limited in practice, if they're for sure going to play, you don't put them as they say. You put limited under practice status, but for game status, you just don't put anything.
Here's a pop quiz for you, Taylor. The next guy that goes on IR, the next roster spot that opens up, does Mac Brown get the call? I guess it depends
I'd
on the position,
no.
Right?
Right. Right. You know,
Like
Pressway goes out,
right.
They're not
bringing up Mac Brown to punt. Oh, let's also do this. All right, it's almost time for Ernest Byner because the interview is fantastic and the audacity of Richard Pettibone is just so damn cool. But I want to credit the Redskins. I don't know who to credit, if it's their digital people. Somebody creative over there did something really funny. The Oklahoma-Texas Red River rivalry, they call it, is this weekend. And the Skins had a bunch of Sooners. They have one Longhorn legend in Colt McCoy. Did you see that video they made?
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Well done.
Well done, whoever inside the building here at Redskins Park.
I've retweeted it. JP's retweeted it. So if you haven't seen it, find it.
Yeah, find it. All right. Let's go to Ernest Byner. Taylor, anything to tell these folks?
Well, other than see your good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
That's right. Go see the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Also, Taylor and I will be at the rally in New Orleans. It is a wild. That's the wildest rally there is.
It is, by far.
And we will see you there. So if you want to hang out with us, we'll see you at the rally. All right, here comes Ernest Byner.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
I've talked about it long enough. It is a sincere honor to welcome Ernest Byner onto the Redskins Talk podcast. Ernest was my favorite offensive player on that 1991 Super Bowl team. And I'm really just excited to talk to you. You and I met at B. Mitch's birthday party, and you said you'd come on. I'm glad you still are doing it. So thank you, Ernest. How are you, man?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you want people to know this, but we actually shared a cigar.
We did. We did.
We actually bonded over a cigar before we actually knew who we are to each other and who we are to B. Mitch, man. So I'm glad to be on. I really am, man. It was we have to bond again over another cigar.
I would happily do that, but I got to confess, I kind of knew who you were, just you didn't know who I was.
All right, I'll give you that.
So we talked about it a little bit that night, but I've been doing this. So the 91 team for me is, I mean, obviously it's the last Super Bowl this team won. The Redskins won. It's one of the most dominant teams the NFL's seen, yet they don't really get talked about among the 85 Bears and all these legendary teams that you hear about. But statistically, what the 91 Skins did matches up with really anybody. And you were a huge part of that team. You had 400-yard games that year. You rushed for over 1,000 yards. You were also really effective in the pass game, more than 300 yards receiving. You know, totaled up TDs. You did it all. And that was... this was really before the big days of fantasy football. What Gerald Riggs did to you at the goal line, people nowadays would be having heart attacks about.
You have to give credit to Coach Gibbs and Coach Don Bro, you know, for that. But, I mean, to tell you the truth, man, we had a magnificent backfield. We each had roles. Brent B. Mitz had his role. Gerald had his role. Ricky Irving had his role. And I had mine. I just happened to have a little bit larger role than all of them, you know, together. But it was just that they knew how to put us together, and also they knew that the competition in that room would help make us a better team, and they used it that way.
So you were very close to Super Bowls in Cleveland. And so I'm wondering, once you got to the Skins, and especially kind of maybe even in training camp in 91, when did you kind of feel like, hey, this team could be something?
I never did really know, because, you know, you mentioned that on the Browns teams, I mean, the competition that we had between the linebackers and the running backs, the defensive line, the offensive line, it was very similar. I mean, you can go around the whole team, basically, because that team was pretty loaded as well. But, you know, when I got to the Redskins, and to have that level of competition where you got Pro Bowlers going against Pro Bowlers, where you got guys that are alpha males going against each other, you know, in the room. But then when you got linebackers, D-line, and running backs and offensive line going against each other at a high level on a constant basis, and you have good leadership, I mean, that to me, that spelled a team that could be very, very special. And I think this is when we really kind of knew we had something special, was when we won that Monday night game against Dallas.
Excellent game. Ends on a kneel down, and the Washington Redskins go to 2-0. Share first place with Phoenix. Dallas is 1-1. Cardinals go to RFK next week.
Down in Dallas, Coach Pettibone came into the locker room, and he yelled out, "We're going to the Super Bowl." And I'm looking around like, is anybody over here? Is anybody else thinking this guy's nuts? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that was week two, right?
That was week two, and he knew.
And what was the reaction in the room like?
You know what? I can't remember. I can't remember, but to me, I was shocked, and I was like in a little bit of warp, and it was totally quiet from my perspective. That, you know, I'm looking around like, is anybody else thinking this guy's crazy or not? I mean, because this is, you know, but this, you know, that Dallas game was another game that really, I think, galvanized the team and really spelled out for us how special that we could, you know, how special we could be.
So it's crazy. I bring up these box scores, and they're just remarkable. I mean, I think you guys started 10-0 before the first loss, if that's right. And I mean,
I think that's right.
So the opener, you guys just beat the hell out of the Lions, 45-0.
Kramer back to throw, sets, hit, ball's fumbled, and a turnover for the Redskins at the 10-yard line.
You had 16 carries for 83 yards, more than 5 yards a pop. You had a TD, another 25 yards in the air. You know, that week one, before you get to the Dallas game, and you had been with the Skins for a few seasons, so you knew what Joe Gibbs, you know, run game was like and what it was like running behind those hogs. But that year, just to open it up like that, did that kind of open some eyes? Because I remember as a kid, you guys had a bad preseason, and I'm guessing the veteran kind of team you were, nobody cared at all about the preseason.
Well, to me, I mean, it's every game counted. I mean, that was just how I went about it. Every practice, every game, every time we had a chance to get better, it was maximum effort. I think one of the things that got that season kind of thinking that it could be rocky was, I think Mark Rypien was trying to get a new contract, and he he didn't get the contract that he wanted, and I think he had one more year left on his deal.
Right, because he got his deal after the Super Bowl, right? That's when he bought everybody the Rolexes?
That's right.
Did you get a Rolex?
No, I didn't get a Rolex.
I'll bring that up with Rip next time I see him.
Yeah, you got to hit him over the head with that. Matter of fact, I'll hit him over the head as well. We'll double team him. But I think, you know, some of that galvanized our team as well. Some of Rip going through that process, you know, I think his motivation to have the type of season that he had was one of the, you know, that was you know, obviously maximized. You know, when you got guys that are going into these type of situations, but you have the leadership and ownership in amongst the players like we did, then you really, I'm telling you, that's when championships are won. That's when things become really, really special, and that's what we had with that was part of the process that we had with that team.
So there's a few games that stand out to me besides the Dallas game, which was, I mean, a real nail biter, 33-31. You were down in the old Cowboys stadium with the hole in the roof. But I think about, I'm sure, back to back weeks. Now, I don't know if you had been back to Cleveland or not, but the Browns came to RFK Stadium in early October, and you didn't get a ton of carries. You got 12 carries, 65 yards, good game, but you guys just rolled Cleveland 42-17.
Yeah, we did. I scored a touchdown. I remember scoring a touchdown as well.
Did you enjoy that one a little bit extra?
You know what? To me, it because we had played them in the preseason the year before. I believe it was the year before, or it was the first year that I came out that I was traded to the Skins, and we went up there. And that game, which was in Cleveland, that's where that all of that energy about, you know, showing them, you know, what they're missing or that I shouldn't have been traded or whatever was all part of that game. So by the time that game, the one came in D.C., I was fully a Redskin at that point, fully on board. You know, obviously it's still the Browns. Obviously, I was Marty on the other side at that point. I can't remember.
I have a feeling he was in Kansas City by then, but I don't know.
I think he was. But you know, by that time it was, you know, it was business as usual. We were rolling. You know, I was into the, you know, we were finding our groove. We were still in the groove. You know what I'm saying? So all of that other stuff, it mattered, but it really didn't matter at that point.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of water under the bridge after a few years.
Uh-huh.
So after the Browns game, you guys have the bye week. And B. Mitch has told me, now he was a young player in the league at that point, so he didn't really know anything but really good teams and competing for Super Bowls. But he said, during the bye is when he first felt like, oh, man, we could really win this thing. Is that because he said, now, I can't remember the exact story, but that guys still came to work during the bye even though they didn't have to. Does that ring a bell for you?
Hey, man, we had such a mature football team. You know, we had so many guys on the team that had that feeling of something being special, and you know, because they already had been through that process, and one of the things that they knew was how to keep things going and also how to keep the brotherhood together. I mean, because that's, you know, when you got the 5 o'clock club, the Hogs, you know, when you got the linebackers, the way that, you know, with Monty Coleman as one of the leaders, you got Charles Mann and Daryl Grant with the defense line. I mean, when you got that type of leadership on your team, man, and you got Art Monk, you know, out there with the receivers, Gary Clark, Ricky Sanders. You know, I mean, when you got that type of guys that go above and beyond the call of duty, I mean, I can tell you this, during the offseason, we conditioned with the Redskins, but we go to George Mason, and I say me, Art, Darryl Green, you know, a few other guys would go over to George Mason, run the hill, and still run some additional 300s and all that. I mean, so you had guys that knew that it took a little bit more to be special. And that's, you know, that's the type of mentality that was exemplified. And when you got the type of leadership, everybody else kind of, even the guys that would go the other way at some point, if it wasn't working out right, they couldn't go the other way because everybody was buying into the process of being a winner and the Super Bowl champion.
And was there one guy that was kind of driving that, or did everybody just know, hey, we got to be doing this stuff?
I think it was somewhat known by all the guys, but there's particular guys in each group that you could say, like, you know, that were the emotionally mature or mature football players that knew how to communicate with each other. Also knew what it would take to, you know, to pull everybody together and to also keep everybody galvanized. So, you know, Art Monk, but as the receivers, how can you go against them?
Right.
Jeff Boston, offensive line. How can you go against Jeff Boston? You know, Gerald Riggs and me in the backfield. How can you go against, what are you going to say there? We already have had some success, you know, been leaders on individual teams. So each position, Darryl Green for the DB. So, I mean, each position had their guys, you know.
Did you ever get to sneak into the 5 o'clock club?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
It was an open door policy?
This was the thing that we did, too. Each week that I gained 100 yards, I would buy the 5 o'clock club a case of beer. I think at least one case, a case of beer. And obviously, if I delivered it, I mean, I had to, you know,
That's tremendous. So you did it four times that year.
So I sit down with the boys and, you know, in my bag, even the year before when I had like five or six games in a row where I rushed for 100 yards and I would have, it's on me. It's on me this week. It's on me. That's why, you know, you when you show appreciation for things that guys do for you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's their job. Yeah, we having fun. They were having fun doing it. But it's just, you know, just something, just a little bit, makes it a little bit more special.
Sure.
When I think when you show appreciation for guys in such a way.
You're right. So in 1990, you had 400 yard games in a row and 5 out of 6. So 5 out of the last 7 games that year, you had a 100-yard season, including like a 150 against the Colts. You were piling it up. Another 150 against the Patriots. So one game I remember as well is the Giants game. After the bye, it was a night game up in the Meadowlands. They're defending Super Bowl champs, and that was a tight one. You couldn't really get going in that. The run game didn't. I remember ripping through the one deep ball to Gary Clark was the one really big play of that game. At any point, were you looking around like, oh, man, we might get our first L?
No, never thinking about that. Just out there balling, competing. You know, I think one of the things that happened that game too. Ricky Irving came in and gave us a spark in the run game. He broke a few plays on the backside. We had this wind back play that he broke that on the backside there. I think he was really instrumental. It was another. You know, again, these are different guys standing up at different points in the season, and Ricky Irving was one of those guys that day that stood up and actually kept that winning streak going by contributing in the run game the way that he did and being the difference maker, which pissed me off because I wanted to be the man. No, it did piss me off. But it
might have, though, because you went over 100 yards in your next game against the Oilers.
You see how you get motivated?
I remember that Oilers game like crazy.
Moore and Biner in the backfield. Give it to Biner right up the middle, trying to bounce outside right.
15. Yeah.
I told B. Mitch this story the other day. So I believe that game went into overtime, and I went to that game with my father, and we were driving.
It did.
I don't know why on earth, but we had to leave early. So we're listening to Sonny, Sam, and Frank on the radio, and the Oilers had a chip shot field goal to win it. And and he missed it. I don't remember who their kicker was. He missed it, and Sonny Jurgensen on the radio goes, "God must have the Redskins in his football pool."
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, Lo Miller drained one from 40 yards to win it in OT.
Yeah. Now, this is what some things that I remember as well about injuries. It seems like that particular year, it would be somebody significant almost on each team that we played early on that would miss time, that had to miss that game or whatever. I mean, it just seemed like it was a significant player almost every week. And, I mean, and then that kick was another one that was like, man, I mean, this is, I mean, you can't say other than that it's somewhat spiritual. It seemed like it's somewhat spiritual. That's why I say God must have risk it. Yes. Absolutely.
It starts to feel like it's meant to be.
It's meant to be, you know. So I mean, those type of things coming together in such a way, guys getting hurt like that, field goals being missed like that. That guy, had, I mean, as a matter of fact, I believe he got cut the next day. But anyway, it was just that kind of special thing that was going on that year. And even when we lost against Dallas, that was a game it actually kind of turned around on us on that day. If I remember correctly, they called a Hail Mary before the end of the half, if I remember correctly.
I believe you're right, yeah. I can pull it up. What's remarkable, that Houston game, especially you mentioned George Mason earlier, Darryl Green and Brad Edwards had interceptions on Warren Moon in that game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think Alvin Harper in the Cowboys game pulled in a TD from Aikman to like a 40-yarder as time expired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we can skip all the way to the Super Bowl if you want, but I was going to add, you had one more 100-yard game at Phoenix. That was back when the Skins used to play the Cardinals twice a year. That was week 14. You hung 116 on them. At what point did Coach Joe kind of tell you, all right, Ernest, we're gonna let Ricky get more carries to save you for the playoffs? Was it after that game?
Never.
Never?
He never did tell me. No. If they did, it was amongst the coaching staff, but never. No, we played ball, and you know, they substituted. Matter of fact, I think the substitution pattern was I would take like two series, and then Ricky would take one, and then we kind of alternate or get a feel for it after that. That's what I think was the deal there. I ended up getting hurt. Did I get hurt that year, or was it the year before? I hurt my knee.
I got you playing 16 games here.
Okay. I did play even though I got hurt.
But there were a couple
of
weeks.
I don't know if it was that year or the year before.
There were a couple weeks against kind of Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Dallas, where your carries trailed way off.
Yes, because I hurt my knee against Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was actually supposed to be out for, they said, about 2 weeks. They thought I was going to be out. But some kind of way, the Spirit blessed me. I was crazy enough to kind of heal my body, you know, through exercise. And I still play. I think I played against Pittsburgh.
Nine carries versus Steelers, and then you played in Dallas, too.
Uh-huh. But I think in Pittsburgh, I only played the first half, and maybe in Dallas, I can't remember how long I played, but it was a game after that I didn't play a whole lot. But anyway, that's one of the main reasons things kind of tapered off.
That all sounds right. So against the Falcons, which was a blowout, you had 12 carries. Then Pittsburgh was the following week. You only had 9 carries. And then that Dallas game, only 8. But then, you know, the following week, by the time you got out, I assume that was the L.A. Rams then, 19 carries and then 25 and 17. So back up to kind of your normal workload.
Pushing it up there, baby.
Here's the last one. And
okay,
I could ask you 100 questions, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. You scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
How cool is that, dude?
Hey, man, that was, rolling into the end zone and, you know, being able to be a part of a victory, to actually be a part of a Super Bowl victory like that. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about that game is I ran the ball really good, but I actually contributed in the passing game by blocking even more so. I had a magnificent game of pass protection, blocking Cornelius Bennett when we were backed up in the end zone. He came free. I put that thing under his chin and kept him away from Rip Mason, you know, completed the pass. I mean, it was just there's so many aspects of the game that I really felt like I played as complete a game in the Super Bowl, even though I didn't have a whole bunch of yards. I had a few catches.
About 75 total yards. So you certainly contributed, Yeah.
But for me, that blocking part of the game was something I was really, really proud of.
To me, you saying that, that's what makes you more than just a key running back on that team, is that you and that whole team, I feel like that's an answer everybody on that squad would have, that it's not about the statistical production necessarily. It's about doing all the little things that make you win football games.
That's exactly right. I mean, those are the things that are not seen or not really heard about that really produces the type of winning mentality that we all had. We took our jobs. I'm talking about every aspect of the job to heart, and also held each other accountable in certain ways that really, really helped us to actually grow up as men, as football players, but also as men on and off the field, but also be the type of team that could be one of the best teams in Super Bowl history.
You sold me. Thank you for talking with us, Ernest. You can dismiss this question, but I, Brian made me promise I would ask it. Why did he call you Ninja Turtle?
I don't know. I think some of those moves that I would be doing when I was running routes and stuff, and I would number. As a matter of fact, he would number the move that I would do. So he called me a Ninja Turtle because of how I ran my routes, I believe.
All right, that works for me. I'll tell him what you said.
All right.
Thank you again for joining us, Ernest. This has been terrific. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure.
All right, next time I'll bring my own cigar.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hey, look here. I got you, though.
All right, I appreciate it, man. All right. Maybe we'll do that before too long. Thank you, man.
This sounds good. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
For the second consecutive season, number 21 Ernest Biner paced the Redskins with another 1,000-yard performance and a trip to the Pro Bowl. Only three conference runners gained more yardage, and the true importance of being Ernest was displayed in his receiving and occasional passing skills.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.